All right, this is Dan Young and Ian Mays for the NOYO Radio Project and Common Ground Relief Media. We're here with Tracy Washington, and we're going to talk about public housing and the housing issues and things that are coming to a head right now here in New Orleans. And so, Tracy, a lot of our listeners are not necessarily from New Orleans or Louisiana, so can you explain the situation here with public housing currently and since Katrina and or before?
Well, briefly, because I'm sure folks who are interested will find some real detail. Post-Hurricane Katrina, the public housing in New Orleans was shut down, closed up, shuttered, which is a nice way of saying the Federal Housing Authority and the local housing authority closed down the buildings, even though the buildings are habitable, because the federal government and local authority decided it was time to change the face of public housing in New Orleans. So those individuals and 5,200 families that had formerly resided in public housing and the more than, 6,000-7,000 families that were on the waiting list now have really no place to call home back in the city.
So to expand on that, what is the situation in New Orleans with rents and housing in general since the hurricane?
Well, now the Housing Authority has opened approximately 1,500 housing units. The problem is the rents have gone up dramatically in the city. Prior to Hurricane Katrina, for example, you could probably rent a one-bedroom house for $350, $400 a month. Now a one-bedroom apartment will cost you anywhere between $900 and $1,000 a month. Wages have not increase for the poor working people in New Orleans that dramatically or at all. They've stayed stagnant. And on top of all of that, we have less housing to rent and fewer apartments to let to individuals who are here, our working poor. And that, if there was any one point I want to get across to your listeners, it's Dan and Ian, that we are a city of working poor people. Across the nation, folks should be able to relate to that. When they saw people at the Superdome and at the convention center, I don't want anybody in this nation to think these were all welfare kings or queens. These were people working at the hotels, making minimum wage or just above minimum wage. And here in New Orleans, you cannot survive making minimum wage. So those people work sometimes two, three jobs just to subsist. And nowadays, even if you had two jobs making $6 an hour, you're not going to be able to survive in this city.
So what are different residents, activists, and other groups doing about this situation?
It's difficult because you know the population that you're dealing with. You have people who it's not like I can pick up the phone and call an apartment complex and say, hey, we're trying to organize you group of residents to do things. We have 12,000 homeless families in this city right now, many of whom are sleeping in tents across from City Hall. They're living in abandoned houses and cars, and they're being thrown out of FEMA trailers. So directly in answer to your question, I'm sorry, We filed a lawsuit on behalf of public housing residents in federal court. We asked for federal relief. We said these folks have rights. They have due process rights. They have legal rights to be returned to their houses. The federal courts have not sided with us and so far, but we're still fighting that. For those folks who are organizers and activists in the United States, they have to understand that and help us show that when the courts ignore the people have to rise up on their own and take action, and that's what's going to have to happen now.
What has been your personal involvement with the struggles related to housing and public housing in New Orleans recently?
Well, aside from having general angst, I'm one of the lawyers that's representing public housing residents in a federal litigation called Anderson versus Jackson in federal court. And I've represented FEMA trailer residents in state action in the state courts. And you know, we try as best we can to stop actions to have people thrown out of their homes by any means, legal means necessary. Any legal theories that we can come up with, they don't always work, that's the disheartening thing right now.
Yeah, so that leads into my next question, which what has been, if any, the general response of public officials in the city and the state and federally to this crisis?
You know, it's really very peculiar, because it's not like everybody doesn't see that the emperor isn't wearing it, that the emperor is naked. You know, when I say the emperor is naked, it's not like folks don't know that we pay subsistence wages here. It's not like folks don't know that 28% of the city of New Orleans inhabitants were living and working below the poverty level prior to Hurricane Katrina. These are objective, just facts. These are just, you can't dispute them. That's what they are. But it's like folks have blinders on. They're seeing the city that they want. This is my theory. Public officials see a city that they want, and they are driving policy toward this city that they want, where there's mixed income developments all over, and that, you know, folks can afford $1,000 a month for a one bedroom, and children don't need special education services, and there's no great need for public transportation, and there's no real need for public hospitals because everybody has health insurance. And so they're building this city around that ideal utopia. Thank goodness your listeners can't see me making all these hand gestures. But they're not dealing with the here and the now of, you know, an incredibly large population of our babies, our children, who have special education needs that the schools just won't deal with. So if you drive around the city, you see there's just these massive amounts of children that are just out. Why are they out? Well, they haven't been expelled. Schools have just told them, we don't want you to come back. And this massive amount of people sleeping under overpasses. And folks say, well, they're just homeless and we don't see them. And people who are, as I heard last week from a caller to the Louisiana Justice Institute, what do I do? My dad can't get the specialized medical services because for his diabetes. They can treat him for this chronic thing, but his foot now has gangrene. You know, we're building for something else. Oh, we're going to have a beautiful hospital system by 2012. And we're going to have wonderful mixed income housing by 2010. That's when it's going to start coming online. And we're going to have these great $35,000 a year jobs. Just wait till 2015. But right now, you got all of these people who need it. So that was a long answer to say our public officials aren't dealing with the reality of the here and now. They're dealing with what they want the city to look like.
Can you tell us about, besides the suits related to public housing, what else the Louisiana Justice Institute is involved with?
We are the first social justice statewide social justice legal advocacy organization in Louisiana. We organized and started this group in this past year, in the past 7-8 months, to deal with many of those civil rights issues that have been, I don't want to say ignored, but not all encapsulated under one roof. So We work under five precepts, which, you know, organizing collective partnerships, education, media advocacy, and litigation, which is the main thing folks know about us. We sue people around issues of voting rights, housing, education, healthcare advocacy, worker justice, and economic development. And I think I got all six of them, I hope so. And which is crazy, kind of making me a little bit waggy, but they're all tied in. You know, you can't separate any one of these issues. When I have a baby who can't get into school because no school, public school, wants to accept an autistic child, I know that that autistic child probably also has health needs that's being that are being ignored. And it's possible that that parent of that child is having housing problems. So we try to deal with all of them at the same time. We don't want to have to shoot people off to different areas. It's difficult, but it reminds folks that these are all civil rights issues that are tied in together, and for that matter, they're human rights issues. You have a human right to housing, folks. You have a human right to be educated. You have a human right to health care services. So that's what we do.
I'm curious, how do you, it sounds like an amazing project. How do you get funding for this project?
I do a lot of private practice to finance it. It started off with just, you know, I'm not a wealthy person, but I have a private practice. And then I think over the past 2 years, I'm blessed with folks recognizing my passion and the passion of others who are working on these projects. And they've come to us now and they've said, we want to help you, Tracy. You shouldn't be out here alone. You know, apply for funding and we will get you some grant relief. And so I take off my trial lawyer hat and I sit down at a desk and I say, oh goodness, look, it's a grant application. And I start trying to make application. And then we're going to start making some common appeals for money. And we're going to, you know, start really doing that.
The general theme of these interviews is about how the rebuilding of New Orleans can rebuild something that's more socially just and ecologically sustainable than what has been or what is now, and what thoughts do you have in general on how that can happen, what that would take?
Unlike our politicians, I want folks to take what they see as utopia, what they see as what is good and equitable, and take that, but incorporate it into what we have here now, so that while you may think as a city council or as a community, wow, mixed income developments are a wonderful thing. It would be great to have poor and the middle class and the rich living side by side in harmony. I'm not going to dispute that with you. That is an ideal situation. But take that and ensure that you don't ignore the here and now, the present people who are living in this community, and incorporate them into that dream. So I say, as an organizer, as an advocate, ensure that the voices of the people are not just being heard. You're not just providing a space to just listen to them, but you are actively saying that what the people are saying is what will become policy. You know, and we don't do that. And that's what LJI, Louisiana Justice Institute, advocates. We say that that has to happen. Otherwise, what you're going to have is what I fear we will have here, which is a disintegration of civility and public disrest, and who knows what else.
So, did you have any questions? So, I guess my final question would be, how can people support, help get involved, both in the public housing issues and in other things Louisiana Justice Institute is doing, both people in New Orleans and Louisiana and people in California and other places that are listening to this?
Thank you for the question. The best thing folks can do for me is to write into the Louisiana Justice Institute, www.louisianajusticeinstitute.org, and tell me your ideas and your thoughts. I don't presume to know the answers to everything. I never have, never will. But there's brilliance all over this country, and I'm always so excited about getting the ideas from people, especially young folk all over this country, who say, hey, have you tried this? Why don't you? And we can help you with this. Obviously, I'll take money when it comes, but it's those fresh ideas that I cherish so much, because I don't have them all. I'm an old lady. But when folks can come in and give me their time and give me their energy, that's the best thing I can ask for.
Also, I guess there's kind of a big push surrounding some actions because of the demolition on December 15th of the public housing. Yeah, we kind of missed that completely. Yeah, why don't you say something about the demolition of public housing on December 15th and the actions and what people can do to participate in that, whether they're here or further away?
You are wonderful. I'm living it, and so I don't think to talk about it. December 15th is, and times around December 15th. December 15th through the end of the year is going to be critical time here in New Orleans. I have to be careful because I don't want to lose my license for inciting violence. But look, we have to make sure the bulldozers do not run and tear down public housing. If you're on spring break, if you got a little
winter break, maybe.
I'm sorry, winter break. You got some time. Come down to New Orleans. We need human chains. We need human barricades. We need to stop the bulldozers from running and stop the federal government from destroying housing in a city that is desperately in need of housing. Anybody who cares about the human right to housing needs to be in New Orleans beginning December 15th. To show your support for public housing residents and the homeless, and to stop these bulldozers. We have public housing residents who have said they are going to barricade themselves in, who said they're going to, handcuff themselves to their units. We need to support those folks, and I'll be there, and I want everyone to come down and support us.
All right. Thank you so much, Tracy, for coming out. And
giving me this opportunity to speak. Anytime I can get the word out, I so appreciate it.
Anything else you want to say then?
No, that'll do it. Thank you.
All right. So thank you, Ian. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you to the listeners, and signing off.